I am Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, and this is the Strategic Christian Leadership Podcast, episode number 41. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help Christian leaders or men and women who want to be Christian leaders understand how planning and strategizing is important to carrying out the great commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our strategic Christian leadership Bible verse for this episode is Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Our strategic Christian leadership quote for this episode is from Theodore Roosevelt. He said, the best executive is the one who has sense enough to pick good people to do what he wants done and self-restraint to keep from meddling with them while they do it. In this podcast, dear friends, we are going through the fine books, Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for Church and Ministry Leaders by Aubrey Malfers, Deliberate Simplicity, How the Church Does More by Doing Less by Dave Browning, and Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love, and Leadership by John Dixon. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of these books from our website, podcastpulpit.com, or one of our bookstores. Beloved, our topic today is part 8 of chapter 3, Reality, Keep It Real, from Deliberate Simplicity, How the Church Does More by Doing Less, by Dave Browning. He continues as follows. Understated liturgy. The services of a deliberately simple church are not lofty. They don't have a lot of fluff. Straightforward messages are given in a normal tone of voice and in conversational style. By staging our services loosely, we allow them to unfold with an edge of spontaneity. There is an opportunity for questions to be asked instead of running everything through the filter of religious subculture. We make an attempt to express ourselves normally and naturally. Larry Bassidy said, formality suppresses dialogue, informality encourages it, formal conversations leave little room for debate, they suggest that everything is scripted and predetermined. Informal dialogue is open. It invites questions, encouraging spontaneity and critical thinking. The minute the church starts to feel like a marketing campaign, more like a slogan than a reality, it begins to stray from reality. Deliberate simplicity calls for an understated approach, no hard sell, a relative lack of hype, no over-the-top prognosticating, a conversational tenor, better to understate our own importance or success so people can remember who is truly important, and may I add, his name is Jesus. Real people are the ministers. When Jesus came to start his church, he did not pick 12 religious leaders to change the world. So how would Jesus start a church today? Would he raise $500,000, find a dynamic speaker, a worship leader, and a children's pastor? Do a demographic study, secure a ministry campus, and saturate his community with a direct mail campaign? Perhaps, but it is not how he did it the last time he was here. Jesus simply took a dozen ordinary people, poured his life into them, and they became the church, which we are a part of today. Those 12 were some of the 120 people who were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to spread the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere they went. Churches grew up wherever the gospel seed was planted. Church leaders gathered to brainstorm not how to grow the church, but how to keep up with the growth of the church. The book of Acts gives examples of non-professional pastors. Some of their names are Stephen, Philip, Aquila, and Priscilla, etc., doing extraordinary things to move the mission forward. Perhaps the most powerful example is found in Acts 8, when persecution scattered the church in Jerusalem throughout Judea and Samaria. Do you know what happened? Wherever these Jesus followers ended up, churches sprang up. Neil Cole wrote in Organic Church, "The conventional church has become so complicated and difficult to pull off that only a rare person who is a professional can do it every week. When church is so complicated, its function is taken out of the hands of the common Christian and placed in the hands of a few talented professionals. This results in a passive church, not a powerful church, but a passive church whose members come and act more like spectators than empowered agents of God's kingdom. God does not need superstars in order to advance his kingdom. Real people will do. A realistic approach delivers us from the great man of God theory. This is a faulty understanding of how God works in people's lives. It creates an unhealthy relationship between leaders and followers. The leader is cast as the one through whom God will primarily work, thus creating a bigger-than-life image. Because of the special call of God on the leader, his actions are above question. This approach overlooks the biblical fact that while God has given us different gifts and roles, he intends to use every person, and we are all members of the same body. Beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue this topic in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together. We thank you for this dear brother and his ability to express his vision and to make it plain and simple. Lord, help us to learn what we can, to do what we can for your glory, your praise, and your honor, that millions would hear the gospel and be saved, and that Christians would be restored to you in back to their first love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is your day. Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," his name is Jesus Christ, he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will.